Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is good to be with you as we meet with our Lord. I always look forward to our times together, and I pray that they are as much of a blessing for you as they are for me. I'm just thankful God gives us this time to meet with Him and to hear from Him. I hope that you're having a great day. Hope the circumstances in your life are good, but most of all, within those circumstances, that you are growing in the Lord, that you're in fellowship with Him, that you're experiencing Him. Again, God has brought us to this time, not only to be with each other, but most importantly, for each of us to be with Him. He wants to speak to us. He wants to grow us and mature us. And so let's turn our hearts toward Him and go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, for your eternal love for us, that you want us to know you and grow in a relationship with you. Father, as we open your word, open our minds and our hearts, O God. Strengthen us, grow us, deepen us, we pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open God's word today, we're going to be in Psalm 143. And as we look at Psalm 143, we find David appeared in time of his life, as he so often was, and in a time of great need for God. As you read through this psalm, that need for God just permeates it all the way through. We'll read through the entire psalm in just a moment, but you think about what we read in the very first part of verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. David's obviously wanting God to hear, to answer, to move. Look at verse 4. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. Again, that deep need he has from within. Look at verse 7. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I become like those who go down to the pit. It's obvious that David is in great need of God to work and to move. You may be in such a situation today. You may have some burden, some worry, some fear, some need. Or you may have a loved one, a family member who does, and sometimes that's even harder for us than going through it ourselves. You know, while we need God in every moment, there are obviously those times that the need for God to work and to move weighs us down. What would help us to pray in such times? Well, let's look at the whole psalm, and then let's look at the lessons that we learn from it. We'll go ahead and read through the psalm to begin with, Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He's made me dwell in dark places like those who have been long dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land, Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I'll become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. What would help us to pray in those times when we are desperate for God and we need God to work, to move? Well, first of all, it would help us to remember God's character. Again, you think about verses 1 through 4. David's need is unmistakable as you read verses 3 and 4. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He's made me dwell in dark places like those who've been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. You know, what on earth would enable David to pray in such a time? What would give him confidence? What would give him boldness? the person of God, the character of who our God is. Again, you think of verses 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. You think about what he's saying about God. He describes God there as being faithful. You know, God is always who he has said he will be. God will always do what he has said that he will do. Every God is unchanging. That is one of his attributes, and he's that way in all of his attributes. He is, in fact, an unchanging God. Immutable is the way the Bible scholars label that attribute. And what that means is the fact that every promise will be fulfilled, every warning will be carried out, but that God is, in fact, faithful. David is praying to a God who's, in fact, faithful. But then notice as well, not only is God faithful, but God is also righteous. Everything that God does is right. The goal is right. The means are right. The path is right. The timing is right. You know, there's an expression we sometimes hear, you know, the ends justify the means. Well, they biblically, they don't. And God never has to rationalize anything he does. God always does the perfect thing in the perfect way, in the perfect timing, for the perfect with the perfect motivation, for the perfect end. God is righteous in all that he does. We can trust him because he's righteous. But not only that, but he's also gracious. You know, David talks about not entering into judgment with him. You know, we could all say the same thing, and the only thing that stands between us and the judgment of God is his wonderful grace. That made a way through Jesus Christ for his righteous judgment to in fact be passed down. It's not that God glosses over anything, but the wonderful grace of God. The reason that David could in fact be accepted before God when he prayed was because of God's wonderful grace. And of course, we can jump ahead in the psalm a little bit to verse 8. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. God's abundant goodness for us. What a wonderful God we have. You think about his character, simply who he is enables us to pray to him. And so we remember God's character. We also remember God's word, God's works. David's need for God is obvious. Verse 6, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as in a parched land. David obviously deeply needs God. Well, what will enable him to trust God? What will enable him to trust God enough to seek him and rely upon him in such a time? Well, you think what he said in verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. He remembers what God has done. You know, when we're going through a time of great difficulty, it helps us, it strengthens us, it builds us, and it encourages us to look back and see how God has worked in the past. Certainly in biblical events, the biographies of Christian individuals and the way that God moved and carried them, believers we know hearing, you know, them share how God was with them, our own life as we look back at the times and ways that God carried us. You know, it's amazing how that builds our faith. We need to remember God's works. And that enables us to pray. But then number 3, we also need to remember God's essentialness. And by that I mean the fact that everything depends upon God. Look at verses 7 through 9. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I'll become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me in the way in which I should walk. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. David is obviously talking there about his desperate need for God, how God is essential. You know, one advantage about facing an adversity or a difficulty is that we are reminded of just how badly we need God. Unfortunately, when times are, or when we think things are relatively smooth, we get lax, we get overconfident. But a crisis comes along and it quickly wakes us up. We need to let it take us to the point where we remember just how desperately we need God and how hopeless and helpless we are before Him, how dependent upon Him we are. We need to remember God's essentialness. But then we also need to remember, number four, God's working. You know, God is always at work. Yes, in our circumstances, but upon us in those circumstances. You think of that verse that we all love so much, Romans 8:28, the beautiful promise that's there. For God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. But keep reading into verse 29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, those two verses go together. Yes, God is always working His good out in every situation. And part of that good that He's working out is the good He's working in us, the change, making us to be more like Christ. You think about what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect until the day of Christ Jesus. God is always at work in the situation and in us. You think about what we read now, going back to Psalm 143 and verses 10 through 12. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. You think about what he's saying. God, teach me. God, lead me. God, revive me. Yes, when we go through a time of difficulty, by all means, we need to pray, God, get me out of this. And we are invited to come to the throne of grace for our every need. But in the midst of it, we also need to pray, God, have your way with me. Use this. God, I know you have a plan and a purpose for the circumstance, but God, you have a plan for me within the circumstance. Grow me, mature me, deepen me, purge me, refine me, cleanse me. But, oh God, do the work that you want to do. We need to remember God's working. You know, like David, we all face times of great need, and you may be in one now. I pray, as you pray about that situation, that you'll remember God's character, His works, His essentialness, and His working. And I pray that you'll soon see Him work and move in a miraculous way in the circumstance, but also in you. And that when it's over, you will have grown, deepened, been refined, cleansed, made more like Christ. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you that you are the real and living God, that we can seek you in every situation. Father, I pray especially for those who are going through a difficult time. Lead them and guide them and carry them. Father, I pray that each of us will seek you and walk with you. Lord, lead us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope these times are a blessing for you. I hope today has been a blessing. And I hope as you walk through the rest of the day that the lessons that we've had here today will help you as you face adversities or difficulties, as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. And I hope that you grow in the grace and knowledge of Him.